If you would turn in your Bibles at this time, we will be reading two passages as part of our preparation for the sermon which follows. And we will begin with the passage that is found in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We'll skip down a ways and find the second half of verse 19. The second half of verse 19. And this is part of the story of Paul. And today we are going to be talking about Paul as a worker waiting. A worker waiting to work. And so here we read about some of the things that Paul did during this time where he was waiting to work. And he tried, but he didn't do very well. Acts 19, verse 19. For some days he, that is Paul, was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Paul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates night, day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how in Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, and they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. And now we're going to turn to another passage in the New Testament, one of the letters of Paul, where he wrote in Galatians 1, verse 15, where it gives us another clue on what happened to Paul during a time where he was laid aside. And so Galatians 1, verse 15, we read, "But when he," that is Jesus, "who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, in whom that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me." And so the Bible tells us very little about Paul's life between the time he was converted on the road to Damascus until the time he arrives in Caesarea 10 years later. And we guess that it's around 10 years based on the two passages that we just read. And today we're going to learn how God used these times in Paul's life to bring him from the man that he was when he was converted to the man that arrived in Caesarea. Paul became an apostle. Paul was a missionary. Paul was an evangelist. And he preached the gospel not only to the Jews, but he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And we have noted previously that Paul was an intelligent, very gifted young man. He was articulate. He was schooled as a Pharisee, and he was a good Pharisee at that. And he came from a good family. He also came from Tarsus. And when we think of Apostle Paul, we often think of him as he was at the end of his life. And so if I was going to give you a quiz and say, on your knowledge of the Bible and what you have read in the Bible, how would you describe the Apostle Paul? And you might say this, Paul was a skillful writer. There are 13 of his books in our New Testament. And these aren't just simple books. They are great books. They teach us many different things. They have been studied for over 2,000 years. In fact, some of the apostles themselves have said that Paul has some writings that they didn't even quite understand what he was writing about. Or you might say this, Paul turned the world upside down. Previously, Christianity seemed to be another sect of the Jewish religion. But Paul went out there and he converted people from every nation. And he wasn't the one who converted them. God was the one who converted them. But he brought that message. He said, Greeks, you're allowed in. Macedonians, you're allowed in. You can be part of this religion. It isn't exclusive to the Jewish people. Paul brought together a worldwide religion. And that's who Paul was. Or you might say, Paul was an accomplished preacher and teacher. Obviously, he must have been because he gained quite a following. Or he was a brilliant theologian. Or you might say he was like the first missionary. He was a traveler. He wasn't afraid to go places. And he went some places that were rough and wild. That's who Paul was. You might also think Paul was full of energy. He was full of energy for the gospel. He wanted to proclaim everywhere he could about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a leader. He led men. He developed young men. He had a wide range of people that he was familiar with and that he knew. You just look at the ends of his letters and he says, greet this one, that one, that one, that one. And sometimes we have a whole chapter of greetings. Paul was that kind of person that got to know all the people that he met. But Paul wasn't always that way. We're talking about Paul at the end of his life. But he was not like that when he was young. Paul's early life wasn't easy, and he had to overcome some major personality defects in order to become the man that he was. And I would suggest, among many others, that these 10 years of relative obscurity for Paul were developmental years in his life. And we want to learn from what he learned, what happened to Paul during this time, so that we can learn how to use those times in our own lives, times of quietude, maybe quarantine, times in which it doesn't seem like the Lord is working in our lives. And so let's begin what we want to say today. We read in Acts 11 that the Christians were scattered all over the world. Jerusalem became a hotbed of persecution for Christians. And the Christians said, we can't live here. We can't do business here. Let's go somewhere else. And so they traveled in many different places throughout the Roman world. And one of those places was Antioch. Antioch is a city up in the northeast corner of the Mediterranean. It's up a little river. It's a major port city. It's a place where a lot of trade happened. It's a very large city at this time. The Romans made it as a government area. And so Christians went there because there are a lot of trade there, a lot of work to be had in Antioch. And in Antioch, Jews went there that were from the Pharisee sect, but they had become Christians. Jews who were Hellenistic in viewpoint, who had adopted the common cultural clothing and style of doing things, even though they still believed in one God, but they went there. And then, behold, Greeks, the locals, heard about Christianity and became converted. And this was amazing, especially to those who were in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the Pharisees were here, the Hellenistic Jews were here, and any Roman or anyone else was over here. They did not associate with each other. But in Antioch, a church developed that had people from every race and from every background. And the apostles in Jerusalem were amazed. How could this be? And so what they did is they sent Barnabas. Remember Barnabas? He's the one who talked to Paul, got to know Paul, and said, this guy's really a Christian. He's a little rough around the edges, but he's a Christian. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. And so Barnabas went to see what this church was all about. And when he got there, he just said, he was amazed. This is what he said. He said he came and he saw the grace of God in Antioch. And he was glad. It just made him so happy. And then we read in Acts 11:23, he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He said, now that you're Christians, stay that way. And Barnabas recognized that the people in Antioch, the new Christians, here was a young, vibrant church, needed some help. They needed some experience. And he thought of one man, Paul. And he got on a boat, went to Tarsus, talked to Paul, and brought him back to Antioch. Because he knew that Paul could relate to those Christians who were Pharisees. He could relate to those Greek Christians who because Paul was familiar with business, he was a tent maker, and he could relate with those Hellenistic Jews who had adopted the Greek culture as their own. Paul was the kind of guy who understood people and where they came from based on his background in Tarsus. And when Barnabas came back with Paul, you can just imagine Barnabas coming into the church in Antioch and saying, here's Paul. And the people are saying, oh, a new pastor. We got to get to know this guy if he's going to be our pastor, if he's going to be someone that we're going to relate to. And so as pastors come to churches, we have meet and greets, right? We need to learn and meet this pastor. And so we have a meeting. And so when the church in Antioch came to meet Paul, they probably said, well, what's your resume like, Paul? Where did you come from? What you been doing? And they looked at their resume and they noticed you were converted. And now it's 10 years later. What's in between? What have you been doing, Paul? And so Paul responding most likely retold his conversion story, because even in our Bible, that conversion story is told three times. It's the only story that's repeated like that in the Bible, other than some in the Gospels, and they're short. These are long stories. This was an extremely impactful event for Paul. And then Paul would have explained, after I became converted in Damascus, I went to Arabia for 3 years. And then I came back to Damascus and started to preach. And when I preached it, we read that he confounded the Jews, so much so that they wanted to kill him and he had to escape. So he went to Jerusalem and he tried to join the apostles in Jerusalem, but they were scared of him. So Barnabas introduced him to the apostles and they did recognize him as a believer. We also read at that time that Paul stayed with Peter. He met with the brother of Jesus, James. But the other thing that Paul decided to do, most likely because he had been given a commission to preach, he went out on the street and became a street preacher. And he was an aggressive street preacher. He was one of those in-your-face preachers. And he confronted the Hellenistic Jews, saying, you have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He was in their face. He said, why don't you recognize that? He lived here. You met him. Paul was a very loud, boisterous, in-your-face preacher. And he became so decisive that his Christian brothers had to intervene. And so, especially since the Hellenistic Jews had put out a contract on Paul to kill him, they decided they better intervene. So they took him by the arm and they escorted him for over 50 miles, which is a long ways at that time, to the Mediterranean coast, to Caesarea. They put him on a boat to Tarsus and go home, Paul. You're not meant to do this. You're too divisive. Go home. Stay there for a while. And that's what Paul did. He stayed in Tarsus for 7 years. And so if you were an Antioch Christian, you would say, why in the world are we looking at a man who has caused trouble in two churches? Now, you may have seen preachers like Paul. I have. I went to a parade once, and then there was a guy walking around with a speaker system on his back, yelling at us that we should repent of our sins because we were going to hell. And the only way to come to Christ, and he was speaking loudly, it was very annoying to me. He was speaking loudly that the only way to get saved was to repent of our sins. I'm embarrassed. The gospel was being preached, but it wasn't being preached using the methods that I think should be used. And we'll learn a little bit about what Paul says in a few minutes. And Paul, this kind of thing just makes you think of Proverbs 15. Verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And it actually made me angry to hear this guy preaching in such a way, because the gospel is so wonderful, and everyone was trying to avoid being in earshot of this guy. He was so annoying. How can the gospel be annoying? Especially like that. Paul changed a lot in the 7 years he was in Tarsus, and he might have explained to the Antioch Christians something like this, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And he's talking to the Thessalonians, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also of ourselves, because you had become very dear to us. Paul's style of preaching changed dramatically, but the congregation in Antioch didn't know that. They saw him as a man who had two failed evangelistic opportunities, where he had so offended his leaders that he was so confrontational, he was so contentious, that the people he was speaking to wanted to kill him. And he was only able to escape because his Christian brothers had helped him. When you think about it, you may meet somebody like this someday. Somebody who has been radicalized for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who Paul was. He was radicalized. He was rabid. He was like into God. What do you do with somebody like that? Well, you help them. I'm sure the Christians in Jerusalem and Damascus said, okay, go ahead, preach, teach, do what you need to do. But the other thing that you might do for them is sometimes you say, this isn't working for you. You are not meant to be an evangelist. You're creating more difficulties than you are converts. And so you need to remove them, just as his brothers did in Jerusalem. But the third thing that we should do when we meet someone like that, and I hope you meet someone like that someday, is to pray for them, because you may have a young Paul in your hand. You may have someone who's going to be greatly used of the Lord. They just need to be softened. They need to be humble. Paul needed to be humble. And so, Paul, what did you do during those 10 years? Paul might have answered like this. First of all, I needed time to reflect on my new standing with Jesus Christ. I wanted to know my Savior more intimately. I wanted to find out what he really was teaching me, because when he was in Jerusalem, I wasn't there. I never met Jesus before. I just heard of his teachings. I needed to study his teachings. So Jesus came to Paul personally. We read that Jesus revealed himself. He says, I had visions and revelations of the Lord, we read in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And we read that in Ephesians 3, verse 2 and 3, I assume that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me from you, for you. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. Paul did not linger in his writing saying, this is what Jesus revealed to me. But he did say that much of what he knew was revealed to him personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to learn what Jesus Christ wanted him to know. But Paul would have said, secondly, I needed to know the word of God. Every time I had read Moses' writings, the Pentateuch, every time I had read all the prophets and the Psalms and so on, I was reading it through a Pharisee's eye. Now I wanted to read through the scriptures from a Christian perspective. And so Paul read through all the scriptures, and he could see how the scriptures pointed out to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus was needed. Jesus was predicted. There were prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ, which he probably had never seen before, how those prophecies had worked out. And then Paul would say, thirdly, and this is big, I needed to learn what the grace of God was really all about. Previously, Paul had been trapped. He was trapped as a Pharisee. He had these 400 and something laws that he had to obey. And he was trying to please God by obedience to God. He was working his way to getting to be with God. And he wasn't even sure if he was going to make it then. The entire concept of grace, the free offer of grace, was alien to Paul's thinking before he was converted. And we read in Galatians that Paul said, For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. I didn't make this up, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to come up with this on my own. I haven't heard about this on my own, but the grace of God that was given to me has been shown to me that I could not get it from works. And so that was what Paul had learned. And Paul later wrote in Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, which I was doing a great job at, but I know that that was all nothing, so that no one may boast. Paul learned a lot during these 10 years. He learned a lot about grace. And then fourthly, Paul said, I wanted to think, I wanted to act like Jesus Christ. It's one thing to know what the Bible says. You know what Jesus did. You know what Jesus taught. You know how Jesus thought. But to say, I want to think like Jesus. I want to respond like Jesus. I want my first response to be like Jesus. Those bracelets that people wear sometimes are not that bad. What would Jesus do? The WWD bracelets. It helps you try and think like Jesus. And Paul said, that's what I want to be. And I think this was very hard for Paul. He was a proud Pharisee. He was a bigoted Pharisee. If you weren't a Pharisee, you were nothing. You were a Christian, a fallen Pharisee, he had to bring you back. If you were a Hellenistic Jew, forget it. If you were a Gentile, you were nothing. Paul was bigoted. Paul was proud of his heritage. God had to humble Paul. You read in Ephesians 3, verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, Paul is saying, I was humbled. This grace was given even to me, he says, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's who Paul was. He said, I can't believe that God used me. But he did. And I was able to teach something that was so wonderful. The grace of God. Are you a proud Christian? If you are, you need to look to Jesus and humble yourself before him. In many of his letters, Paul refers to himself as a servant. And if you really look at the translation, it's a slave. Jesus considered himself a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who we are. We are slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Slavery, I know, is not a good term to use. We are servants, but we are servants of the lowest common. We don't have any rights. Jesus has all the rights. He tells us what we need to do. Only then, when we realize who we are before Jesus, we are able to serve him and to worship him. And so Paul writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. And so Paul gave God the credit for whatever he did. He never said, I decided to go on this missionary journey. I was given this brain so I could talk about all this theology. You never see the word I, as far as Paul's concerned. He always gives the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. And so how did this happen? What did Paul do? He said, you know what? I had to work out a theology of Christian life. And when we read through all of Paul's writings, they are well thought out arguments. They are explanations for many different things. And we don't have to think, he didn't have to think through all these doctrines when he wrote these letters. It wasn't a spur of the moment, oh yeah, I better think through this before I write it down. No, he was able to write these letters. He was able to dictate to somebody these letters without having to research what it is that we should think about a particular topic. And so some of those topics is that he explained what God's sovereignty is. He explained the doctrine of election. He had lengthy discussions about what it means to be saved. He knew what man's depravity was like. He knew what Jesus' death and resurrection meant to our own lives. There were so many things that we read in those 13 books that have been given to us that it has taken people a lifetime of study on these particular books. And the ease and the breadth of Paul's knowledge is just amazing. It shows that he had extensive knowledge of all the scriptures and that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ and he knew what was taught in the scriptures and he knew how it worked out to be a Christian. That's who Paul was. And so if you were in Antioch at that time and you heard Paul talking about these things, you would say, Paul, you seem very different than the picture that we've heard about you when you were in Jerusalem and when you were in Damascus. What happened? And Paul would have said, I found out that the methodology that I use to persecute Christians doesn't work to try and convert people to be Christians. That in-your-face methodology doesn't work, because we read that when Paul was sent to Tarsus, the verse immediately following says, the church then had peace. Paul was gone. Paul was out of the picture. They had a time of peace. Sometimes it is, you, when someone leaves, you'd say, well, that was a blessed departure. Paul was a blessed departure to the church in Jerusalem. It's just how it was. Paul needed to be taken out of the ministry. Reminds us of some other great leaders that we know about that are written about in the Bible. Moses. Moses spent 40 years in Egyptian court. He probably was a scholar of Egyptology. He probably knew everything there was to know about Egypt. And then he made a little mistake and was sent out to the desert. He spent another 40 years there, out in the desert, tending sheep, probably thinking through what he had learned, thinking through what his heritage was as a Jew. And then God called him at age 80. That's when he started his great, great leadership of the children of Israel. Some of you are almost 80 or over 80 or whatever. Can you imagine starting a new career at 80? I can't. So, but Moses did. God appointed him. Even King David, he was a teenager, maybe younger, when he was anointed king. Did he become king immediately? No, he didn't become king until he was 30 years old. And for 13 of those years, Saul knew that he was supposed to be king. And Saul said, let's kill him off. And Saul chased David all around Israel. And David had to hide in the wilderness. David was in all these places as a fugitive. And it was rugged and it was harsh. And he got himself into some situations that I would never want to get myself in. Just read the story of David's life. It is amazing. And he became king at age 30 after many years of difficulties and problems. And there are others in the Bible. We think about Joseph. We think about Elijah. We think about John the Baptist. All of them spent time, say, their wilderness experience in a way, where God prepared them for a life of ministry. And so Paul would have said, Jesus worked on me by giving me his spirit. Paul later writes in Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Was Paul a loving person before he had his experience in Damascus? I would say he was an angry person. He was angry that Jesus Christ disrupted the whole religious system of the day. And he was so angry that if you believed in Jesus, he was going to confront you, and he was going to make sure that you denied Jesus and you came back to the true religion. Paul developed love for people. He loved people so much that he wanted to talk to them about Jesus, but he didn't do it in that confrontational way. He did it in a loving way, so that he could show the love of God in his life. And how can you show the love of God in your life? It is by treating other people in love. That was a major transformation for Paul. Joy. Does Paul seem like a joyful person when he was on his way marching to Damascus? No, he was focused. There was no joy in what he was doing. I mean, some people have joy in doing bad things, but Paul wasn't feeling joy. But after Jesus entered his life, joy started to enter in. And we see it in Paul's life. Paul was thrown into prison. And after he got thrown into prison, the chains were put on. What did Paul do? He began to sing. He was joyful in whatever situation he was in. He sang for joy that he was suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. That certainly was a change for Paul. Peace. Was he at peace before he was converted? No, he was not at peace. He had a problem with those Christians. He had a problem with those Gentiles. He might have had problems with other people too, for all we know. He was not at peace with God. He was trying to make himself acceptable before God. After he became a Christian, he had peace with God. God had forgiven his sins. He was reconciled to God. That's what happened to Paul. And these became incorporated into his personality so that all those things that we described Paul as at the beginning of this message are coming out because he had the peace of God with him, the joy, the love of God. And we could go through each one of these fruit of the Spirit and see how God had transformed Paul. So you, as a Christian, are you a transformed person? Have you had the Spirit work in you so that you now are more loving? You are more joyful. You are more peaceful. not only making peace with God, but making peace amongst your brothers and your sisters and with all people. Is that the kind of Christian you are? Then you are following in the footsteps of Paul. This didn't happen overnight. Paul had to wait 10 years. And one of the things that he waited for is that he was waiting for God to give him and show him how that ministry that had been told about in 10 years previously by Ananias, where Ananias said, "You are going to teach the gospel before Gentiles and Jews and kings." Paul had tried to make that happen, but it didn't work. I think that he must have had some correspondence with Barnabas throughout these years, and Barnabas could see the change in Paul so that he knew that Paul was ready for ministry. And he went and got Paul and said, "Paul, here's an opportunity in Antioch." And Paul came along with Barnabas and went to Antioch. And it says that Paul worked in Antioch for a year alongside of Barnabas, preaching and teaching the gospel to that young, vibrant, multicultural church. But Paul didn't get there by doing nothing. We read in Philippians 2, verse 12, Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That expression is an expression, but it means you need to work at showing the results of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't something that's just going to happen to you. You need to work at it. You need to work at showing love to others, showing your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those things are things that you need to work at. You need to work at having joy in whatever situation you find yourself in. You need to work at being peaceful, having peace with God and peace with all those people who are around you. That is work. So we pray that the fruit of the Spirit would work in us to help us to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you trying to be more like Jesus? To think like Jesus? Do you desire to get into the Word of God and learn what it means to be like Jesus? Are you apt to talk to others about what you believe, about what it means to be a Christian? Are you developing the fruit of the Spirit, as we just read this long list of different things, and we only mentioned a few of them here? But those would be ones that you can remember and you can work on, because you say, I don't have much self-control. And so that's a fruit of the Spirit. You could ask God to work within you to help you in that area. And so each of them, you might need God to help you to work on it. Let me ask you a question. Paul changed a lot in 10 years. Have you changed in 10 years? Well, some of you might not be 10. Well, you are very different if you're barely 10 than you were 10 years ago. But some of you who are older, if we could take your picture 10 years ago and compare it to your picture today, there'd be changes, right? You're a little older, obviously. But are there changes in your walk with the Lord? Paul had some major changes in how he walked with the Lord. Can we see changes in how you walk with the Lord? Can you think back for yourself, give yourself a little test? Am I walking with the Lord differently than I did 10 years ago? all could say yes. All of us should be able to say yes. Lord, you're working in me. You're helping me in my Christian life. Let's walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish our time together by turning in our hymnals to hymn number 505. 505. And this is a beautiful hymn to end with. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I cast beside? All you need to do is let the Savior lead you. Hear the words of Paul as written in Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.